Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed, and as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership podcast. This is your host, Sherry Miter, and this is our first official, what we are naming our Talents on Tap. And you've heard my husband before, Tom, on the show. Say hi.
Hello, everyone.
And we decided this is something we've been thinking about for a while, and we wanted to kick this off for 2022, and we hope it resonates with everybody, but a fun spin on a way we're going to talk about talents and put our love also of microbreweries into the conversation and talk about our talents on tap. So when we do our talents on tap, which hopefully will be a monthly thing, we're also going to be sharing our favorite breweries and our favorite beers that we will be sipping on while we are chatting with you guys. Eventually, we will have this live where you can join us on Zoom and have your own beverage. Or if you have a microbrewery that you love, that you think we need to, that's in the Northeast, that you think we need to pay a visit to and try their beer and feature that on. We love to just take road trips and do that. So anyway, welcome to the show, to our listeners, our leaders, and welcome to our first Talents on Tap. So, Tom, you want to share what's on tap today?
Yes, this is what's on tap today. So, one of my very close friends introduced us this past October to Treehouse Brewery in Charlton, Massachusetts, and they have a very unique brewery there. They have an interesting way to sell you beer and how they go about it. And they have a tremendous selection of different types of beers. And today we're dealing with, this is called their House Lager. It's a light lager, a light American lager. So it's very easy to drink. It's very smooth. It's not an IPA. So there's really no hoppiness to it. It's just a very light, easy drinking lager. And we highly recommend, if you're in the Charlton, Massachusetts area, that you pay a visit to Treehouse Brewery. And hopefully there's somebody from Treehouse will watch this podcast eventually and we'll give them a shout out. Guys, you're doing a great job over there. And cheers.
Cheers.
Talents on tap.
It's actually a really nice one.
It's very good.
What's interesting, and you'll find in our Talents on Tap conversations, Tom and I have different talents, different strengths, different opinions, and different tastes in beer.
Oh, yeah.
Though this light lager, I do have to say I like that. Normally, I like the IPAs, but I do like this light lager. Hmm. Nice, easy sipping one, especially since how we're recording this around 1 o'clock. So it's a good one to start the day with. It is a Saturday. So today, our topic is empathetic leadership and empathy from the Clifton Strengths perspective. And I've been wanting to talk about this for a while because we are recording this in the beginning of 2022, coming off of what have been two of the most challenging years for leaders. And lately, I've been seeing a lot about you have to be an empathetic leader. And that's the way I'm hearing it, at least. This have to be an empathetic leader. And as somebody whose empathy on her Clifton Strengths is kind of low, I'm almost, I don't want to say taking offense to that, but I've been like weary of that because yes, I understand the thought behind it, but not everybody can be a natural empathetic leader, but that doesn't mean we don't care. And Tom and I have been talking a lot about this in the car, and I'm excited to have this conversation, a little nervous about it, because we do have slightly different opinions on things, and empathy's high for Tom, very low for me, so it should pay for very interesting conversation on empathetic leadership. And I want to kick this off by first saying what empathy is not. So empathy is not sympathy. And the actual definition of sympathy is that the feeling you care, that you care about and are sorry about someone else's trouble, grief, misfortune, a sympathetic feeling. It's a feeling of support for something. It's a state in which different people share the same interests, opinions, goals, et cetera. And, you know, you hear this when somebody passes away, things like that. Oh, I'm, you know, the cards say, you know, with greatest sympathy, things like that. That is not what empathy is. And I know, Tom, you've kind of had your opinion on that. So in a brief, what would you say that for you, when you hear sympathy or empathy, what do you want to make clear that it's not?
You know, it's an interesting concept in that for years I would go around, especially in my work in the fire service and the fire department, I would go around and just joke around and say, well, I lack empathy. I lack empathy. I don't really feel sorry for anyone. And with good reason. We don't generally have time to really, for a long period of time, feel sorry for someone's situation, because there's always, for us, there's always another situation. So sympathy and empathy, when I say I thought I lacked empathy, I really lack sympathy. I can't. I just can't spend my time feeling sorry for someone else's situation. But I do actually end up having very high empathy on my Clifton Strengths. Actually, it's number three, which was very surprising to me that it was. Because again, I was confusing sympathy and empathy quite a bit. So let me just read you the quick definition of empathy, which many of you have probably heard, and excuse my glasses, but I can't see if I don't have them on. I can sense other people's feelings by imagining myself or others' lives or situations. So, or imagining myself in another person's situation. But that doesn't necessarily mean I sympathize with their situation, but I can sense why they feel the way they do. I may not necessarily agree with their feeling or agree with their opinion, but I can place myself, apparently, and I do see it in my day-to-day life now that I recognize it. I can easily place myself into their situation to see it from their point of view. And then, of course, when I analyze it, I may or may not actually agree with that, with their point of view or their situation, but at least I'm in a position where I can understand where they're coming from. And that, to me, is empathy in a nutshell. I can put myself in a position where I can understand where that person is coming from. Whether I agree or not is a whole different matter.
I like that. And kind of moving in, staying with the definitions here before we really jump into the subject, I also looked up, what is an empathetic leader? Because that's what we are seeing a lot of. There's different posts going around. There's all these things about, you know, the most important thing now is being an empathetic leader. And when I looked online, I found a couple of things from betterup.com. And they say an empathetic leader is one who has a genuine interest in his or her team members' lives, the challenges they face, and their overall feelings. This kind of leader makes an effort to understand their situations and what they are going through in order to offer support and help. Empathy is a key element of servant leadership. I know you love that as well, although not all empathetic leaders practice servant leadership. Overall, an empathetic leader interacts with others in a way that leaves them feeling safe and cared for, and as though they have a connection based on trust. And then TonyRobbins.com, they have empathetic leadership is a style of leadership that focuses on identifying with others and understanding their point of view. Empathetic leaders take a genuine interest in the people around them, what makes them tick, what inspires them, and the way they feel. They want to understand why people are the way they are. And this desire helps them become great leaders who are able to connect with many types of people and adapt their style depending on who they are interacting with. They go on to say there are downsides to empathy leadership traits. Empathetic leaders can find it difficult to confront others and to provide negative feedback. But the best empathetic leaders don't just feel for their team members. They take action to help them grow their careers. And sometimes that means giving constructive criticism. So thoughts on that, Tom?
Well, it's a very interesting concept in that you said that servant leadership kind of goes hand in hand with empathetic leadership. And it definitely does. You know, servant leadership in a nutshell is you're more concerned with the people around you, your team, than you are with yourself. It's really, in a nutshell, at least in my line of work, you know, that's what it is. You know, I work in a firehouse. I make sure that my crews, they eat before I eat. I make sure that they have everything they need equipment wise to get through the day. I try to get to know them enough to know their situations, their family life, enough to know that if they come in and they're present, but they're not really present, to know that something's going on and to be able to help. And that, again, that's all empathy and servant leadership working hand in hand, so that, you know, you can really service your subordinates and take care of their needs. And an interesting piece of that would be, a lot of times when I'm working and my empathy theme is showing up and my servant leadership theme is showing up, sometimes that can make people feel like, well, you know, I can kind of do whatever I want. You know, Chief Miter is not going to make a big deal out of it. We can kind of go our own way on this. And that's not true. I have a very good friend who was a retired New York State police officer, and he had one of the best statements that I think anybody with high empathy has to remember about themselves and make sure that the folks they work with, their teams realize about them, is don't mistake my kindness for weakness. I will understand your situation. I may not agree with it. And if you push the situation to try to make it resolve the way you want it, and I can't do that, I have to be able to say, that's not going to work. But it doesn't mean you don't empathize with them. You understand where they're coming from, but you just can't accommodate everything that they want you to accommodate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, when I listen to those, the definitions, and we think about that, I also want to emphasize too that if empathy is lower, it doesn't mean that you don't care.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you're not going to try to, you know, help somebody in their situation or work with them to figure things out or relate maybe to what they're saying. Mm-hmm. It just may not come as natural in the same way as somebody with high empathy. So you can still be a great caring leader and show great leadership without necessarily being what some are calling an empathetic leader. Doesn't mean you're a bad leader.
Right. I think for analytical comes to mind when you say that. You know, so if you've got, you don't have empathy high, but you do care, that doesn't mean you don't care. It's just that empathy isn't high on your talents, but maybe being an analytical person is. So maybe instead of just putting yourself into the situation, maybe you take the information they're giving you and you kind of analyze it, and you analyze it along with the other side of it, if you will, or all the factors that go into the whole situation, whatever it may be, and you analyze it, and you may come back and in the end agree with what they're saying, agree with the situation from their point of view and change course to accommodate that, or you may not. But it doesn't mean that you don't care.
Right.
Not having a lot of empathy does not mean that you don't care. It just means that you, like you said, you come at it from a little bit of a different point of view, not the same way that someone like me would.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And what I thought we would do is kind of, you know, we're laying this groundwork now so that, you know, if you're listening to this, it doesn't matter if you have high empathy, low empathy, or you have no idea if you have empathy or not, or maybe you do. I feel like people, you may not have been able to pinpoint it, but I feel like most people, if they, from what I've heard from people, you know, talking to clients, talking to other coaches, if someone has high empathy, especially if it's super high with them, they sense it, they feel it. They can walk in a room sometimes and feel that something's amiss.
Yes. I have a very good friend in the fire department who's just, you know, basically, let me just back up a second. Everything I do when we talk has to relate to the fire service because it's all I've ever done. And it's all I've ever known. And I love the Clifton Strengths program in that it has taught me so much about why I am the type of leader I am and how to better myself and better the folks around me in a process. So that being said, I have a very good friend in the fire department who I can walk into his firehouse and take one look at him and know that he's having a good day or he's having a bad day. He's a great guy, one of the best firefighters I've ever worked with, aggressive fireman, but he's opinionated. And when he gets an idea, gets it stuck in his craw, as they say, bringing him back down to earth is a challenge. But I like that challenge because I am an empathetic person. I look at it from his point of view, and we talk it over, and things calm down, and we get through the day. And he's even given me a compliment in the past where he just says, I don't know how you stay so positive all the time. And I don't really have an exact answer for that other than I work within my strengths, and that's how I keep myself positive all the time. I know what my strengths are, and I work within them and work with other people based on that, and things go pretty well.
And positivity is what, number 6 for you?
Positivity is pretty high. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I am a positive person.
The two combined.
I am a very positive person.
I love this definition and some of the Gallup training that I have is people with strong empathy talents are at their best when they are tailoring their approach by anticipating others' reactions and needs. What do you, like, when you hear that, what does that mean to you?
Well, again, in my empathetic world, you know, you don't sense what someone's needs are until you're in their presence, I think. Or maybe you can sense it like in a telephone call over, but I don't know. I think I have to be in someone's presence to see their body language, to see what, you know, how they're feeling, how they're reacting to the situation that we're in it today. And again, then you just have to recognize that, look at it from their point of view, and do whatever you can to help. But remembering that you're helping them is not necessarily agreeing with them.
Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, so I'll give you an example. A gentleman that I work with came into my office the other night. He was working an overtime shift. And when you're working overtime, you choose your overtime, where you're going to work, what company, so to speak, an engine, a ladder, whatever. Usually on the day that your shift works, and then a couple of days later when you're filling in on my shift on the overtime, you typically work at that company that you chose. But circumstances sometimes change. And the manpower needs for the day I was working changed, and I was going to have to transfer him on overtime to a different company than he was originally scheduled to work at. And he didn't, it doesn't matter the circumstances of why he didn't want to work in that particular company. It wasn't that he didn't like the guys he was working with, but he wanted to work where he had chosen to work, and it just wasn't work out for him. So he came into my office, and I kind of almost chuckled to myself a little bit in that I'm going to use my empathy right now. Cause he said, I just want you, Chief. I just want you to know where I'm coming from. So I said, okay, come on in. We closed the door. He explained his side of it. I explained why it was done the way it was done. He went out a happy man because I listened to him and I placed myself in his situation and was honest enough to say, if I was in your situation, I wouldn't be the happiest guy in the world right now either. But that being said, at this particular point in time, the needs of what we need in our job come before where you want to be placed. And it doesn't matter if it's the fire department or a sales atmosphere or any type of business whatsoever, anything. Those kinds of things will happen. Someone is going to feel slighted in that they wanted to be assigned this work assignment or whatever, and the needs of the organization overpowered what they wanted to do. So it comes right back to that. I'm just going to pat you on the shoulder and say, I understand. I can place myself in your situation. I can understand. I can see if I was in your situation where I might not be happy either, but the needs of the organization have to come first. So I don't agree with you. I'm sorry, but I don't agree with you. And don't mistake my kindness for weakness. I'm not going to do what you want me to do because that's not what's in the best interest of the situation as a whole.
But he left feeling heard.
He did. He left a happy man. He's a great guy to begin with. I mean, just, you know, in case he ever watches this podcast, he'll probably know who I'm talking to. He'll probably know I'm talking about him, but he's a great guy, great firefighter, great friend. And he left the office knowing that I listened to him. I heard and was able to place myself in his situation. I just still didn't agree. And I was able to state why I didn't agree. And, you know, we came to a very amicable conclusion to the conversation. He went on his way to the kitchen, have a cup of coffee, and that was, you know, yell about the New York Giants or something and move on down the road.
With the Clifton Strengths, one of the things we love about with the reports is you really get a customized view of empathy. We already talked a little bit about the generic description of the Clifton Strengths description of the empathy theme, but combined with your high responsibility and adaptability, consistency, positivity, what's one or two things that really stood out on your customized insight report?
Well, I think I kind of stated it a little bit already in that the very first sentence that comes up in empathy tailored to me, to my personality, in line with all my other strengths, are that by nature, I can sometimes soothe or quiet people who become frustrated, agitated, angry, distraught, or upset. And I can tell you again, I can only relate to my job as a firefighter or my past experience in the military. And I do have the ability, and I hate to sound like I'm bragging, like I've got some kind of a superpower. And
you do. It's your empathy superpower.
But I am able to sense that in people, and then dig a little deeper, find out what's going on, and then talk it through and you know, bring them down, calm them down, make them a little bit of a happier person. And it's amazing to me that that's the first one, because that is the one that in me seems to show up the most. And it also says that I'm very likely to detect impending conflict sooner than some people do. And I do see that when you live in the same building with, 7 or 8 other guys, for 24 hours, you will sense conflict before it reaches conflict. You can look at the body language of the person who is on the negative end of whatever is going on, whether it's just really good natured teasing or something more serious. And you can I can sense when things are going awry, things are going crossing a line, so to speak. And usually it's incumbent upon the leader in any room, whether it's a firehouse kitchen or a conference room in an office, to use your empathy if you have it, or one of your other strengths if empathy is lower, to stop that situation from occurring or stop it in its tracks before it crosses a line. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really great strength for anyone to have, especially if you're in a leadership position, is to be able to sense when things aren't going right before they cross a line, before they go too far. And I really enjoy that. I think it says here that instinctively I may sense that certain people need your attention or to feel valued or appreciated. I think that kind of goes hand in hand with everything else we just talked about. You know, it's really in the end, you just have a sense of things. Mm-hmm. You see someone, you see their body language, you see their interactions with other people, and you kind of sense that, you know, something's wrong and something's off. And we're lucky in my line of work because we spend so much time together that I think it makes it easier to sense those things. I think it really does. And the last thing in the last part about my individual strength being empathetic is I might bring an emotional awareness to certain kinds of conversations. So sometimes I can ease the stress of individuals if they are about to make an important decision. So, and that's I think that's very true. You know, guys on our and young ladies on our job, they make big decisions for themselves and their families every day. Am I going to stay here? Am I going to move on to a different career field that might be more suited to me? Am I going to take a promotional exam? Am I going to take a promotion if my name comes up on a promotional list? Am I going to transfer to another fire station or another fire company that's responsibilities are different? And in our job, those are big decisions. And I can kind of sense that in people and help them to talk through that and what's going to be in their best interest and what's going to be in the department's best interest. And I feel like I'm pretty good at that. And I really don't know how else to put it.
Do you ever feel like your empathy keeps you from having difficult conversations?
All the time. All the time. Because listen, nobody wants to have a difficult conversation. True, nobody right. wants to go to work and say, listen, I'm going to get on this guy today. Nobody wants to do that.
Some leaders mean well, that's maybe, not but, the good way to lead.
But I don't. I don't. But that's the hardest part of being an empathetic leader is sometimes you have to have a difficult conversation because they want you so bad to agree with their – once you step into their situation, they want you so badly to agree with their situation and you can't. And sometimes it doesn't work out so well where they walk out your office door happy that you heard that they were heard. Sometimes they go out the door and they're angry because you didn't do what they wanted. And you have to have those difficult conversations. You have to, you know, man up, as they say, and have those difficult conversations. And of course, what kind of a in my mind, with my strengths, what kind of a leader would I be based on my strengths to just blow that off and not care about that conversation and not find it difficult? Of course it's difficult. These guys, besides, and any, again, any workplace, besides being coworkers, most of the time they're also now, they become friends. They become somewhat, and in our situation, they become somewhat family. And, you know, you don't want conflict in your family. So having those conversations is difficult, but it's your responsibility to have those conversations. And although I find it difficult, I do finally find myself having those conversations. I will admit wholeheartedly that sometimes I put them off as long as I think I can get away with it. And that's not a good thing to do either. But I do have those conversations with the guys I work with. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard. I've had to tell people that the position they're working in is, I don't think is the best position for them to be in. And that, mm-hmm. that's, you know, their feelings get hurt. But again, my job is to look out for what's best for everyone, including the people that aren't involved one-on-one in the situation.
Right. Which is the job of most leaders.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Right. The overall well-being of the company.
Exactly.
I know one of the suggestions for somebody high with empathy to really maximize the empathy and really make it that strength, that superpower to go from having a talent to investing in it is to have some great questions that you can ask to really tap into what somebody is feeling, that you sense somebody is feeling.
Right.
Do you have any questions you think of that you can think of that are kind of your go-to?
Yes. And again, you know, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a doctor of any sort. I'm just a guy with a high school education. And so in that vein, you asking what you call a probing question is, to me, it's not that difficult. Usually, if I sense something going on, and no matter what the situation may be, I generally just take that personnel aside. Because remember, we praise in public, we admonish in private, but you know, admonishing aside, when someone's got a situation going on, whether it's personal or professional, they may not want their laundry aired in front of other people. So the first thing to do is when you're going to ask probing questions, so to speak, the first thing you want to do is close an office door. Close the office door. Say, you know, in my job, when I close my office door, that basically means the chief doesn't want to be bothered. He's got something going on. And so you take that person aside into a private setting. And I just say, hey, I'm sensing you're not, whatever the situation may be, you're not all there today, or you're having difficulty in this particular, with this particular project or this particular assignment. What's going on? How do you feel? Why are you having difficulty? And I say it in such a way as I want to know because I want to help, you know, and that your tone of voice, the way you ask a probing question says way more than what the probing question is.
Right. Right. It's not like, hey, what's going on?
Right. You know, and when you do that, people shut down. So if you do it the wrong way, people shut down and you're not going to find out what's going on. So I don't think I have a specific question that I would ask other than just a conversation, a nice breaker, like, mm-hmm. what's going on?
Right.
How's your family today? Right. I notice you're down a little bit. Everything okay at home? Right. Mm-hmm. And usually that works. You ask, and then once they break the ice a little bit, maybe they'll give you just a tidbit of information about what's going on. Well, then the probing question can be more in vain with what's going on. And you can usually get to the bottom of it. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful how you ask your questions. Mm-hmm. Because you know, we live in a very sensitive world now. You know, everybody is, in my opinion, not everybody, but a lot of people are overly sensitive to, you know, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has a reason to be upset with anything you ask them. So how you ask these questions is really more important than what the question is, in my mind. I really believe that.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. As someone with high empathy, like the potential blind spot, should we say, is that if you have high empathy, you can let yourself get to a spot that you take on
yes.
other people's feelings.
Yes.
Which can be
exhausting.
Yes.
So when you were letting your empathy out of the box, so to speak. You're opening a cage door and you're being an empathetic leader and you find yourself, you know, I have a minimum of 24 personnel, a minimum that I'm responsible for every single day that I go to work. That's a lot of people. And if you let every single person's personal situation or whatever may be bothering them, if you take all of that on without an outlet, it's exhausting. and it drains your energy, and it makes you need an empathetic person to find out what's going on with you. So you have to be very careful to disconnect yourself from the situation after you deal with it. After you deal with the situation, whatever it may be, you need to put it aside. You need to put it aside and say, I've dealt with that. I've dealt with that. That's over. Bring on the next thing. Or maybe you think to yourself, that's enough for today. if someone else is got an issue, hopefully it will wait till the next time we're together. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds horrible, but
it's
not really.
Or maybe we need to go have a beer and
talk. Unfortunately, the fire department wouldn't do that. We have to wait till we get off duty. But we can do that. And I have said to guys, let's grab lunch tomorrow. We'll have a conversation. Mm-hmm. Usually when you're to that point, they're looking at a big decision and they're looking for advice. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much how that works.
So how do you take care of yourself to disconnect or to work through so that you're not holding in all those emotions after the fact?
For me, just relaxation. Mm-hmm. If it's later in the day, relaxation. Mm-hmm. Just relax, let my mind wander to something else, turn on the television and, watch one of those silly sitcoms that don't have any meaning just to take your mind off what's going on. Earlier in the day, I look to exercise. I look to exercise to, I know I'm svelte, I'm built well, but I do look to exercise to relieve that stress, that tension. Right. And I look to good conversation that is not focused on an issue, focused on a problem, just good laughter. I think laughter. There's nothing more fun than a firehouse kitchen. if you want to have some laughs. There's nothing more fun in a firehouse kitchen with a cup of coffee. And I do find myself that at the end, I should have said that at the beginning. At the end of a long work day when I've been on the computer taking care of scheduling issues and all these different things, you hear that laughter out in a firehouse kitchen, you're drawn to that. And that's the disconnect, really. The more I think about it, the more I realize that's really my disconnect. I go grab a cup of coffee. I sit down at the kitchen table. Naturally, I'm a chief. They let me right in the conversation. That's really the relief right there is you start talking about something else and something that might not be so deep. There might be some heated debate, but it's usually about a sports team or something. The stress isn't really there or it's relieved.
Right. So even a leader that's not maybe in that situation at a firehouse that there may not be that laughter in the community is who can you meet with after work? Is it your family? Is it a friend? Is it, sometimes you just need to have those light conversations. You can de-stress, comedy, meditation also is something to, look into for somebody that's high empathy. Definitely the exercise. You have to have an outlet.
And I think it would be incumbent on everyone to decide for themselves what works. Mm-hmm. You and I have great conversations. I'm very lucky in that Sherry and I can talk about anything that goes on in my line of work or you can talk to me about anything going on in your line of work. Mm-hmm. And that helped. That's de-stressor for us. Maybe not everybody has that situation at home. I don't know. I can't judge anyone else. Mm-hmm. But I think the key is it's incumbent on every person to find their own outlet.
Right.
Whatever that may be. A conversation with a friend, a family member.
Be journaling, for some people. It might be journaling. It might be painting. Right. It might be just find
anything.
Something
and,
that.
But you need an outlet because being an empathetic person and more or less taking on other people's problems, so to speak, not really taking them on, but being able to place yourself in their situation. You're feeling their pain, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That can be an exhausting thing and you have to have a way to put it away. You really do.
Right.
Whatever that may be.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about those of us who, Tom obviously did a great job sharing. If you have high empathy and you could recognize yourself with a lot of those things like, oh yeah, I do that. And, take some of the ideas, the having good questions, having a way to release it, having that respect. And it may take time. Like if you realize that I am empathetic and maybe you're empathetic at home, but you haven't been at work, it's going to take a while to build that trust. You can't just go in and you've never asked the probing questions. And now all of a sudden you're asking these questions, caring questions. That may take a while. So just know that you can't go from nothing to all of a sudden caring.
And that brings on an interesting point that kind of goes back to servant leadership. Mm-hmm. Know your teams. Learn to know your teams. Learn about your people. Learn what makes them tick. Are they married? Are they not married? Do they have children? Do they not have children? Do they have children with special needs that may be a stressor? Do they have someone in their family that's ill that they're being responsible to take care of it and handle that? Because all those things build up.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be empathetic to care. You might be using one of your other strengths to help in that situation, like we talked about a little earlier with being analytical. But one of the best ways, even if you're not empathetic or don't have empathy high on your Clifton strengths, is to get to know your teams. Get to know your people. Know what makes them tick. Know what their problems are. And don't do it in such a way as you're prying and you're trying to, I know this about this guy. Right. Is just ask, is there anything that, are you married? Do you have a girlfriend? Do you have children? What are their names? You know, what are your interests? They're simple questions that in my line of work come easy because we live together for 24 hours a day. So you're going to find all those things out. Even if you don't ask, you're going to find those things out. But someone who works in an 8-hour a day atmosphere or in today's world, doing everything by Zoom, you're working from home, asking those types of probing questions.
Right. Though sometimes you see the cat, you see the dog, you see the kids.
Right.
Because
right.
they're working from home.
You see the little heads bobbing by, throwing toys at
right,
you,
right.
like
so
our
you
grandson
that,
would.
Right.
those. I think those are important aspects of that. And that goes back to servant leadership.
Right.
And I think that's...
Right, whether you have high empathy or not.
No, right. You still, those you things need you need to know.
And that's more important. And I think that is what the gurus or why everybody's all about the empathetic leadership right now is because more than ever with the state of what we've been going through in the world, we all need to be caring leaders.
Right.
It doesn't matter where you have empathy in your Clifton strengths. Like we just need to care. And part of caring is knowing who you're caring for, knowing about them and making sure that they know that you care.
Right.
And having, it's about, to me, good conversations, knowing that they care.
Mm-hmm.
And if empathy's not high, it's using, and I'm going to go a little deeper with this, is really how can you use your other talents to make sure you're connecting with your people, that they know you care. So, and again, I'll give, myself as an example here that empathy is 27 for me. So it's pretty low, but I have Relator is one of my top 10. So, if you have high Relator or individualization, even they both can fall in there where you can really individualize a conversation about that person. It goes back to knowing who they are, knowing their unique situation. You may not feel it like somebody with high empathy does, but you can still care. You can still be engaged in the conversation. Relators, we love to get to know people on a deeper level.
Right.
So use your Relator if you have that. And even if you don't have high relationship building themes at all, how could you use maybe if you have high executing themes? Again, it's maybe taking the time to listen. Maybe you have high arranger, which is an executing theme, which you think, how could I use arranger to be a more caring leader? And we're going to call it caring leadership, not empathetic leadership.
Right. I think that's a good point because you can care no matter what your top five themes are, top 10 themes are, you can care.
Right.
And you should care, especially in this day and age with all the things that are going on in our country the last few years, politically and pandemically, whatever you want to call it. People need to know you care. And whatever strength that you need to use or that you find yourself using to show that you care, you're going to be the winner out of the
right. And even on, I'm going to come back to arranger in a minute, but even I've heard of empathetic people with high empathy who don't care.
Yeah.
So because you have high empathy doesn't automatically mean that you care and you're going to use that
for good. I can place myself in your situation. I don't care.
not good leadership.
No.
But somebody with a ranger, and again, you have to figure this out for yourself, but it's worth taking a look at what of my talents and strengths that I have, how can I use this? Or if you haven't done the Clifton strengths, first of all, why not? And second of all, take some of these things we're talking about and what feels natural to you to start using in your work situation, your leadership situation. So my thought with a ranger is, you know, rangers love to figure out the pieces. How do they fit together? So maybe you can have a conversation with somebody, listen to what they're saying, take notes if you need to, and then get back to them with, wait, I see how this is all fitting together now. How can I help you in this situation? Because you can help them see the pieces and how they maybe need to be shuffled around a little bit to make that situation work for them. Somebody with high focus, you know, the fact that if you have high focus, use your focus power, your focus talent to have a true focused conversation with somebody where you're not glancing at the TV, you're not glancing at your phone,
right,
and you are truly engaged and focused in that moment. I promise you, if you do that, that person is going to feel that you care for them and that you truly were listening to them, because you are, you know, that's true listening. And that's another thing too. If you feel like your listening skills, whether you're high empathy or not, that's definitely worth tapping into. I think as a good leader, you have to be a good listener.
And if you're not a good listener, because I really, for much of my career, was not a great listener. And I'm learning now to spend more time being focused and listening to what people have to say, especially when they come to me with issues, because I'm in a position now where people come to me with their issues. And I just wanted to say, just to add to what Sherry's saying, she's talking about a ranger. She's talking about being focused. it doesn't matter what your top five themes are. You need to find a way to care about what's going on. You will be able to take, no matter what your themes are, you will be able to find a way to be a great leader and show that you care. Whether you're an empathetic leader or not, you will be able to do it if you concentrate on it, if you take a little time to think about it. No matter what those top five or top 10 may be, you will be able to find a way to be a better leader in all these aspects that we're talking about today, and pretty much every day that you do your podcast when you're talking about any of these things.
Right. And for some of us too, depending on what are in your top five, you may also have to take a look at if you have some, like command is a high talent for me. People with high command or some other talents may have to look at that and how can I soften that down a little bit to be a more caring leader? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we want to, or somebody with high activator, you want to jump in. And I find myself with this too, because I have both of those. Like if I hear somebody has a situation or a problem or they're ill, I want to go into action mode right away. And I may skip that important step of actually pausing and really listening to what do they need right now? Do they need us to go start a fundraiser because they have cancer, or do they just need somebody to listen?
Right.
You know, so it's also pairing that run with the talents that can help you, but also look at what do you need to calm down a little bit possibly.
Right. And I would add to that, that again, going back to no matter what your themes are, what your top 5-10 themes are, you will over time find ways to do all the things that Sherry's talking about and to care and seem to be an empathetic leader. And once you're working with your top 5 or 10 themes on a daily basis, they're going to kind of come, those things are going to come naturally to you. You're going to find that you're not really going to have to sit back and think about what I'm going to do. It will come to you. It will come to you what you need to do, what your action steps will need to be. And I think that's one of the most important things about learning what your strengths are, because there's nothing worse than concentrating on your weaknesses when all along you should have been concentrating. Because if you're sitting here and you're watching this and you're thinking, well, I'm not empathetic, so that's a weakness. So now I have to try to become empathetic. Well, you're not going to become empathetic. You might fake it, but it's not sincere. What you need to do is work within your strengths to find ways around a lack of empathy or a lack of any other strength that you may be needed at the time to work with your strengths. And it will end up coming so naturally. I see that now with myself and with others around me that have taken their strengths teams. And, you know, stop worrying about your weaknesses. Your weaknesses will take care of themselves when you're working within your strengths. And it doesn't matter what you're doing to do it.
Right. But it is being aware. You know, being aware of what are your natural, because it doesn't, some talents for us do come very, like if it is high, it comes very natural, but that's a talent. It's not necessarily a strength yet. So it is investing in it, working in it, being conscious about it.
Right.
Putting forth effort into it. Maybe it is. Maybe you have to write down the questions and keep them on a sticky note on your desk initially. Like, you may have to actually work at it initially, but then eventually it will become second nature.
You're right, because it just goes back to, for all these years, I thought I lacked empathy. And once I realized it was high on my my Clifton Strengths themes, I said it was more of a natural talent. I had to concentrate on, okay, well, how do I apply it? I have to learn about it. I have to apply it. And then all of a sudden, you know, I wouldn't say it's like a fireworks going off or something, but all of a sudden I am empathetic or I really am not empathetic.
Yeah.
You have to study them. You have to realize, okay, so this says this is the way I am. Well, why is that? Let's study this a little bit.
And how can I do it better?
And how can I do a better job of it?
You know,
because you might have a number one theme that you actually haven't been using. You weren't really very good at it.
Yeah.
You have to.
We all do.
Yeah.
Where it's just raw, untapped. So
talents untapped.
So speaking of that, this does conclude our first Talents on Tap. We do hope you enjoyed this. We hope that you enjoy the conversation, that it just leaves you with something to think about, whether you have a high empathy, you don't have empathy, you don't even know if you have empathy. Take some of the ideas that we shared, because the bottom line is, to be a great leader, you have to just be a caring leader.
You have to care.
And your team has to know that you care.
You don't have to be the friendliest person in a room.
No.
You don't have to be the wishy-washy guy in a room.
Right.
You could basically be what some people would describe as a mean boss. But sometimes a mean boss still cares.
They know you care.
So nobody's asking you to change your personality. It's that's really not what you're being asked to do in this situation.
Right.
You know, I have a lot of guys I work with are just hard men. They're hard officers. They're hard leaders, but they care.
Right.
And how they care comes across different ways based on their strengths.
Right, right, right. And even the last thought that I want to share here too is that sometimes that caring means that you're willing, maybe you are willing to change protocols a little bit if you can, you know, if it works for them. Maybe like right now, looking at the scenario where a lot of leaders are working through in 2021 with hybrid working or flexible hours, that's being a caring leader. The fact that you might be saying to your team, because you know they have family situations at home, that maybe it doesn't work for them to work a traditional start at 9, end at 5 job, that you allow them, as long as the job is complete, does it matter what time of the day they work?
No.
You know, that's being a caring leader. So sometimes you might have strategic, and that's the way you show you care, because you are willing to sit down and plan and create a system that works to keep your employees happy. And that, again, is kind of the bottom line. Being a caring leader is making sure everybody's happy. They're showing up to do their best work. And that's what keeps your employees engaged. That keeps them staying longer. And that keeps them doing the best job for you every day.
Yep, totally agree.
So, all right, with that, we are going to say goodbye on our first Talents with Tap for 2022.
All right, thanks for checking in.
My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams. Teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections, or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.